Father, I pray that you would speak above me, through me, around about me, in spite of me. Lord, that I would not be too cold, I would not be too hot, I wouldn't be lukewarm, maybe whatever temperature you ask of me this morning. Lord God, and I pray that I would serve your word as the meal that you intended it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start a new series today. It's the Red Letter Series. That's the title of the series up top. The subtitle for today's episode is, What Did You Come to See? The Red Letter Series, we're going to be in season 3 of the Red Letter Series, believe it or not. It's been a while since the first two seasons. Anybody here that was here for the first two seasons? Very limited amounts. Yes, there's just a few of us. If you're new to new season in the past 2 years, you'd have to go, no, I don't remember the Red Letter Series. That's okay. Maybe the cast and crew of the series were filming something else for Pete's sake, and they just needed a break, you know. Either way, we left off a long, long time ago, but not in a galaxy far, far away, just our galaxy, you know. Back then, God's Word, we went through the book of Matthew, chapters 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And before I continue into this series now, I want you to know I wrestled real hard with it. I wanted to go back into deep roots. That's really what I wanted to do, because I thought, oh, I got a few weeks before I'm going to break, and then I got to go to conference. Let's do something easy. Ever just want something easy? Yeah. Like, you just like, you know, I've had enough tough. The next phone call better be easy. Anybody? Okay, thank you. I'm in a new season this morning. It's something like I want to. And I thought, you know, Jeff, I want to serve something nice and easy. We all walk out and go, doop, 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 doop. You know, it would be great. That's what I thought I'd do. And then I felt like the Lord said, pretty much nope. Larry talks to him too. You know, we just had challenging stuff to chew on, for Pete's sake. I just thought, you know, how about a little something, you know, sweet. Maybe go through the Proverbs, you know. You know, I hope you and I, the church, become better followers when this series is over. That's my hope. Say, Pastor, we're tough. We can handle whatever Jesus says. We can handle whatever Jesus says. Red letters, maybe, I don't know, probably for a little while we're going to be here. I don't know if I'm going to get through all my notes today. I love, for Pete's sake, series, because I get to a chapter a week. And I'm a person who likes to check stuff. You ever make lists? I like to check stuff off my list. I want to get through it. You know, like, I don't want to leave something half done. It drives me insane. All right? So it's just this season and this series, I don't know if I'm going to get a chapter a week, but I'm going to try. Truly, I want to teach balance and truth. And past emotions, but you need to have emotions. And I'm going to try my best to slow roll through the scriptures. I think we need to hear them a lot of different ways, because sometimes you tune out the one you love. Come on. Sometimes you tune out the one you love. You think they know what they're going to say, and you think they know how to say it, and you think we know what their heart is behind it. And that's not always truth. And so we want to let Jesus hit us with 100% truth during this series, right? Sometimes, you know, I've been thinking about over-teaching. You know, I look at the clock, and I will be looking at the clock, and I remember a story about Paul. He was talking too long. Pastor Sharon was talking about Pastor Paul. He was talking too long, and there was a guy named Eutychus. You ever heard this story? If you have, just some of us with me. All right, awesome. New to something. This guy named Eutychus, we'll probably teach it sometime. But he was hanging out in the upper room with windows. They didn't have glass on their windows, just a hole in the walls, a window. And Paul, it said, was talking on and on through the night. Sometimes you feel like I'm doing that Sunday morning. Pastor's talking on through the day. Come on, it's college football season, pro season. Get me out of here, Pastor. Well, Eutychus fell asleep while Paul was preaching, fell out the window and died. Read about it. Fell out the window and died. Paul, being Paul, got up, went down there, raised the dead, and brought the kid back up because he had more to say to him, apparently. But here's an important note. Falling asleep at the wrong time sometimes can kill you. Falling asleep at the wrong time in your life can kill you. If you're driving, you better stay awake. Right? Better stay awake. It could kill you. When God's speaking, sometimes people say, I can't believe God let this happen to me. I'm here in this mess. And sometimes things just happen. But there, you know, so many times I can trace back, God was saying this and this and this, and you ignored him. You were sleeping. You were in your sleepy, dreamy state. I just want to dream my life away. Hold on. He's saying something. Don't fall asleep. Right? Wake. Say, let's say this one. Say, wakey, wakey. Wakey, wakey. I'm the church now. Yeah. So we're going to stroll through with Jesus and his crew in the book of Matthew a little bit. And I want to pick up kind of where we left off because it was a long time ago. Say road trip. This red letter series, What'd You Come Out to See? It started last couple of years, honestly, maybe before. And I thought I'd see the importance of recap today. Red letter recap. Why? Anybody else ever watch TV series? Like, ever watch TV? Don't shout it out. People judge it. But you watch TV series? Anyone? No, none of you watch TV? Come on. God, thank you this morning. And then sometimes you're into a series and then it ends. You're like, man, what do I do now? And then years go by. You go, man, I loved it. But how did it end? Who are the guys? Don't you love when they recap? I hope so, because I'm recapping today. That's what I'm doing. I want to give you a little history, too, about Red Letter Series. Why is it the Red Letter Series? It goes back 35 years for me. This series goes back 35 years. I first got saved. I requested for my 20th birthday. I got saved before I was 21, which is shocking, because I lived like I was 21 from the time I was 15. And so I become a Christian, and on my 20th birthday, I asked for a Bible. My mom almost fell out of her chair. She goes, you want what? I said, I want a Bible. And it was this one. This one. As you can see, it's had some roughness to it. It's been utilized pre-technology. It's traveled around in my heart, and it's traveled around in my life, and it's been with me. I asked for this old King James Bible because back then I was a born-again Catholic. And I thought, if there's ye's and thee's, it's got to be the holiest. Right? Yeah, come, you and thou. Come on, ye and thee. That's what we are, you know. And then I saw this Bible at Sullivan's Bookstore. Notre Dame friends of ours owned a Catholic Christian bookstore at the mall. And I was up there, and this is pre-technology. Now we can highlight stuff, and we can do all sorts of translations in a second. But remember, this is a paper world I lived in. And I saw this Bible that had all the words of Jesus were in red. And I went, super cool. Right? Because I just had an encounter with God, and I really just want to know what Jesus said. I was in that. I only want to hear... I want to spend some time just what Jesus is saying. Ever do that before? Well, this is the Red Letter Series, right? Season 1 and 2 was about Matthew 5 through 10. We're going to start at 11 and maybe sometime before we leave today. But I want to recap some stuff that we should know for Pete's sake. This is the best I got because I'll get rid of it. Should I get rid of it? I don't know. I need someone to tell me, you want me to get rid of it or go the hand mic? I sound great to me up here. I don't know how I sound back there. I'm sounding super good. Yeah. I'll start singing I Exalt Thee and you'll clear the room. In a bad way, exact expression, like don't let him do that. Christianity is believing, trusting, and being followers of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, right? So I have a question for you, and it's an identity question. Do you identify as a Christian? Do you identify as a Christian? Yeah. Christianity is something that must be received inside of you first. Christianity is not a rules, religious organization, structure, or format. It's not a certain way to do a thing. It's got to be something that starts inside of us first. Christianity takes place internally, right? It's an internal situation. And then it begins to grow and work its way out of us, right? Into our life and into our life choices. If Christianity isn't involved in your life choices, then you're not a Christian. This is easy. I'm just sliding into the Red Letter Series. Your Christianity should be recognized externally after it's happened to you inside, right? You can't be grumpier than the whole world and not listen to anybody and not be nice and not be good to your loved ones, your spouse, or your kids on a regular basis and say, yeah, I follow Jesus. I say, bunk. Not true. Christianity should be seen externally. Say, it's time to recognize and it's time to take responsibility. For who? Yeah. Say, I am the church. There we go. I got a slide. I think I got it. It is always time to practice our Christianity better. It is always time to practice our Christianity better. Practice. Practice it, right? Here's a crazy, crazy fact. God's real church must put into practice Christianity. God's real church should be practicing Christianity. If it's not practiced out of our lives, then I submit to you, are you Christian? You know, I can identify as a zebra, but I'm not one. Red Letter Series, the not-so-quick recap of compiled stuff that Jesus said. One of the first things he said, we read in the series before, we walked through, is the Beatitudes. Everything the Beatitudes are, you know, blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted, right? We talked, Jesus talked a lot of things about how we can be blessed. It had a lot to do with our attitude. It really did. If you need more of a recap, you can read chapters 1 through 10. Secondly, Jesus taught about prayer. Say prayer. Prayer is muy importante. Muy importante. Prayer is muy importante. Thirdly, also Jesus told God's people to first get the speck out of their own eyes in that series. First two series, man, he was talking about specks. How good are you at criticizing someone else's walk? How good are you at looking at someone and say, they should have done that. Why didn't they treat me this way? Why don't they do that? Can you complain up a storm? I can complain up a storm. Me and Ed are complaining up a storm sometimes, right? He said, get the speck out of your own eye, bruh. That's paraphrased, by the way. Be careful about living in hypocrisy and making false judgments of others. It's time to get healthy. Then watch out what happens when we do. A better version of Christ is released in the earth, right? When we get healthier. Jesus also told us that narrow is the gate to him. It's not an easy path, right? I'll take a second and we're going to look and step back to a very important part. Before we get into chapter 11, there's some things that I want to skip past because A, they were uncomfortable. And B, I go, well, then I already taught that, Lord, a couple years ago. So they all remember it. And if they don't, they can read it. Yeah. Didn't work out too well. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. By far, the scariest quote of God's word ever spoken. And it's spoken by Jesus, so it's a legit source. People who say they belong to Christ, he's talking to people who say they identify as Christians. He's talking to the church. This is like, he says, not everyone who says to me, who's in a church, who says they're part of the church, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, not everyone who says it is in the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. I think I got a slide, right? I think I do. Being a disciple of Jesus requires following and obeying Jesus. I can prove some of that. Some of you follow people on Facebook, right? Anybody have social media? Do you follow anybody on social media? Anybody? How many of them do you obey? Ooh, none, right? America. Yeah, none. Jesus isn't a social media account. We're supposed to follow him, but what he says we should be doing. If not, we're just saying, Lord, Lord. Right? That's a dangerous place. Jesus said to build our house on the rock, and when life smacks you hard, you won't get hardened. That's also a paraphrase. But it's true. Right? Sometimes he doesn't show up like we think he should. What did you come to see? Did you come to see just miracles, signs, and wonders? We're going to talk about that in chapter 11. You can get lost in miracle signs and wonders and follow miracle signs and wonders and not even know him. See, the church can put some rules, and you got to, you know, bend your knee at this time during. You got to sing this song for this long, and then just the church does a good job of messing stuff up. But at the end of the day, we're following and obeying Him, right? That's what we're doing. So in chapters 1 through 10, in my recap, He cleanses lepers and paralytics, which is cool. It's not like He's anti-miracle, right? He's the miracle man. But He does a lot of miracles in places we're coming up to talk about. And they saw miracles, but their souls weren't impacted. It's crazy. It makes Harold mad. Jesus cast out demons, right? He picks up key disciples. And He even heals a mother-in-law. How kind is He to heal a mother-in-law? I have a great mother-in-law, and she's fantastic, you know. But I hear they can be trouble. I hear they can be trouble sometimes. Yeah. Some can be. Jesus is still on His famous show-and-tell tour. So I'll say recap. Let's pop over to Matthew 9 through to 7:38. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Say, "I am the church now. I am the worker." Oh, that was even softer. I didn't put this slide up, but I'm going to quote it anyways. Here's a saying, and I love it. Hard times make hard men. Hard men make easy times, and easy times make easy men. And easy men make hard times, which make hard men. So the church is just too soft for too long. We think sacrificing is raising our hands on Sunday morning to worship a God that we should be throwing ourselves on the altar for. That's not sacrifice. That's not sacrifice. It's just not. Matthew 9, 37-38. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. So pray. So pray the Lord of the harvest, send out workers." Are you still working for Him or working for you? Those are questions. Do we or are we praying for more workers? I know the children's church workers do. They're like, "Man, Lord, bring in more children's church workers." You know, are you and I recruiting more workers for His kingdom? What are you recruiting? Is recruiting workers for His kingdom more important than? That's why we left behind. That's why we said, "Hey, here's who I am. I forgave you. Get out there and tell people. Go get some workers," right? Send out workers into His harvest. Jesus then sends the disciples on a mission, and He warns them it's going to be hard. It's not going to be an easy thing, right? I don't know, if you've been serving Jesus over a year, how easy is it all the time? Anybody? You're like, "This is cake. I can do this in my sleep." So does that really make us excited for season 3 of Red Letters? Probably not. Probably not. But I want to ask, what did you come out to see? You know, sometimes there's an incident. Ever be involved something where there's an incident and there's like five other people were there and it was the same incident, but there's like five different perspectives of that one incident. You're like, "What?" Yeah. You know how sometimes you might see the same incident that I'm seeing at the exact same time, but based on your lenses being broken or warped, you're going to still see it differently either. Sometimes we're warped in our lenses, right? We are. Don't go into this series with preconception and don't rush through it. Like, let it be uncomfortable for us because it's going to make us better because that's what Jesus does, right? I'm going to go with Him for a while. I looked at the clock, 11:11, perfect. Keep going. Actually, it means double pause, but I'm just going to ignore the clock. Matthew 11, 1 through 6. I want to say all that recap because sometimes you need context, right? Now, if you walked into the sanctuary and you, for the first time, and you met Dr. Heidi, my wife, and you heard her say to Elizabeth May, my granddaughter, who was praying in the mic earlier, and you never met her before, and you heard her say, "No, you can't have any more chocolate," and she walked away. You might take the perspective of, "Boy, she's grumpy. Jimmy, give that little sweet baby a piece of chocolate." Right? You might. That might be a perspective. Because you didn't have context. You didn't know 20 minutes ago she said, "You can't have any more chocolate. You've already had 11 pieces today." She could have said, "You can't have any more chocolate because you're smearing it on the back of the rose." You don't know the context, right? You just went, "Well, that was mean." Jesus is going to say some stuff, and I want to remind us all the miracles and signs and wonders he did and the things he taught. Because when he says something, have perspective. Because if Jesus can't tell you something hard, who can? Who are you going to let say something hard to you? You got to let somebody say something hard sometime. If not, you're soft and sick and weak. And that's not the bride of Christ. We got to get healthy from soft, sick, and weak. That's what we have to do. Matthew 11, 1 through 6. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he's talking to 12 guys, he went out from there to teach and to preach in their Galilean cities. Now, when John the Baptist, pause there a second. Hey, this is the same John the Baptist that was at the River Jordan earlier in the Red Letter series. You know, when the dove came down, he got baptized and the dove came down from heaven and like the Spirit looked like a dove from heaven. And John the Baptist even declares, Jesus, the Son of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Everyone, the man, the myth, the legend, right? John is like, he's here. John proclaimed he's here. That John. Say that John. John, in prison, heard about the activities of Jesus. I'll tell you right now, John probably wasn't expecting that serving God was going to put him in prison. I'm doing working for Jesus. Prison. John had expected Jesus maybe to be the Messiah that he thought he should be. Ever expect Jesus to do something for you that you think he should do? Yeah. He sent word by his disciples. First of all, I got to pull over there and ask John this question. I really want to know, why do you still have disciples? It's just my first thought is, and this is to be my judgment. I'm just saying this is my opinion. I don't know what's going on. But here's the thought process. If Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, takes away the sins of the world, God himself in the flesh has shown up. Go follow him. Don't follow me. He's here walking around. Go follow him. Don't follow me. I don't. I do know that John was awesome and had maybe great reasons. I'll talk to him when I get up there. Jesus actually calls him one of the greatest. And they asked him, Jesus, are you the expected one, the Messiah, or should we look for another? Didn't John just declare he was? And now he's in prison. He's like, are you it? Why? Because he didn't get what he wanted. I don't want to quote the Rolling Stones, but you can't always get what you want. Can't always get what you want. You can't. And here he is, John, the Messiah that takes away the sins of the world. The man, And now he's in prison. He's like, hey, come here, guys. Yeah. Could you go ask him, like, who is he? What? Are you the expected Messiah? Should we look for another? As the church, now you probably never doubted God before once he showed up once. Right? Like God did something once in your life and you probably never doubted since. Oh man, if we had crickets, they'd be chirping. Right? But I want us to ask ourselves the question, what'd you come to see? Are we chasing the things that he can do for us? Are we chasing him? What'd you come to see? Jesus answered the question and says, go out and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Anyone ever blind physically, emotionally, or spiritually, and all of a sudden Jesus showed up and went, oh, I never saw that before. Yeah, happens still today, right? Ever walk, when you first became a Christian, you kind of walked a little wonky. People learned, like, how do you identify as a Christian and why are you over here? And you're walking funky, but he changed your lameness and you walk better now? Happens still. And the lepers cleansed by healing. Everyone an outcast in your family because of Jesus? It's kind of like leprosy, isn't it? It's tough. And the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, now he's telling John, blessed is he who does not take offense at me. Blessed is he who has a perspective that you think I should be doing something, and I don't do what you think I should do, and you end up in a hard situation proclaiming the gospel in your life. Blessed is he who doesn't get offended that God lets you do whatever God wants to do and not what you want to do. I mean, okay, should I bring it down? Miley's still go. She's saying go hard. So if Miley's saying go hard, then it's trouble for y'all today. Come on, Miley. Let's put it on Miley. She got big shoulders. Come on, Miley. Dump it over there. Look at your neighbor. Say, what'd you come to see? Blessed is he who does not take offense at me. He's going to say this because some of the things he's about to say, you can get offended. He says, accepting me as the Messiah and trusting confidently in my message of salvation. It's time to be confident in him. Matthew 11, 7 through 10. I have this little note that says only five scriptures more. I can make it through here. I believe, Joey. I believe. As these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds. Crowds are often fickle. Some of these people in the crowds are going, Jesus, touch me, heal me, thank you, and crying. Are going to be the same ones going, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. You can get in the crowd real easy. I would be serving God, all of a sudden you get a bunch of ornery people around you in your life, and you're a mess, all of a sudden you're like, aah! The crowd will get you. Don't be part of the crowd. So don't be that guy, right? These men are going away. Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. Here he did. He kind of blasted John a little bit, right? But then he says this. What did you go out to see in the wilderness? What did you expect from him? You all trashed out John because he was camel hair and sweaty and screaming and telling people and baptizing. He said, did you go out to see a reed shaken by the wind? Like, you got to be entertained. Hey, John the Baptist is preaching today. You want to go? It's hilarious to watch. Or they bring great crowds, and I love being in great crowds. What'd you come out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in the palaces of kings. But what did you really go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one far more than a prophet who foretells the future. See, prophets are great. If you've been in the Pentecostal experience of church, which I have, my roots are in that after Catholicism. When prophets come, people go, oh, I hope we get a word. Oh, God speaks to me. Ever do that? Inside, not outside, but inside. Oh, I hope he calls me out and tells me how awesome something's going to be in my life. Right? He says, you go out to see a prophet? You go out to get some prophecy? I tell you, the one is far more than a prophet for to tell the future. This is the one whom is written by the prophet Malachi. You say, this guy, John, was written about in the Old Testament, deep roots. That's what he's saying. Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. John started preaching repentance for mankind so they could turn their hearts back to God. And he starts showing up. His job was like, hey, I got to tell you hard things. Why? Because when he gets here, you don't want to hear hard things from him. You just want him. John had a job to do. I need you to know Jesus, and if you're going to know the Messiah, then you got to get your heart right even before he shows up. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven's here. Right? John preached repentance. We as church know it's important to get right before I'm going to get healed up. Right? His church is supposed to be working and preparing people to see Jesus. It's part of our job. Not to see us, but to see him. Matthew 11, 11 through 15. You preparers of the way. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, So how do you know Jesus is being serious? You know, because sometimes I read these scriptures and I see Jesus ticked. Ever read a scripture and go, Jesus ticked? Oh, yeah. Ever read the same scripture a different time and go, oh, he's so sad. You know, Dr. Heidner, I can read a verse and go, I'll think, man, Jesus is ripping up. But you go, Jesus is very upset right now. His heart is hurt. And both are true. So if you're used to hearing ticked, I want you to hear hurt. If you're used to hearing, oh, soft, I want you to hear ticked. Okay. But he says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, so Jesus is saying something serious. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Wow. Even Malachi, who prophesied that he was coming, even Moses. Yet, say yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he from the days of John the Baptist until now. He's talking about the church. He said, I got greater things the church is going to do than John the Baptist did. He goes, wait till these guys behind me, Peter, James, Paul, and the sailboat get going. Wait till you see what they do. Man, wait till you see what Corrie Ten Boom does. Wait till you see what Joyce Meyer's got up to. Wait till you see Dr. Heidi in action. I don't know, but there's things that are greater, right? From then until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violent assault. Ever feel like, as you're walking as a Christian, you feel like life's been kind of violent assault? Yeah, feel a little violent assault. From then until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as precious, as a prize. For all the prophets and the law prophesied up until John. And here's Jesus soft a little bit. He says, if you're willing to accept it, we should get more willing to accept whatever Jesus has to say. But can he? Can Jesus walk up to you if you identify as a Christian? Can he walk up in your life and say anything to you anymore? Can he say anything to you? I mean, anything. See, that's where we have to get to. If he's really Lord, then he can say anything. Right? Anything. If you're willing to accept it, John himself was the fulfillment of Elijah, the messenger who was to come into the kingdom. He who has ears to hear, you think they all had ears? Think he was talking about ears? He uses the word ears, but he's talking about understanding, right? He who has ears to hear and heed my words, which means follow them. You can hear a lot of stuff, but do nothing, right? It's the season to get her done. Whatever God's working on your life, get her done right now. This is the season. You have no other season. Get her done right now. If you're wrestling with God, let him touch you. Let him break you. Get on your knees. Let him humble you. If he's telling you to give, give. If he's telling you to go, go. If he's telling you, it's the season. There's not another season coming to prepare you. This is your season. I always like to talk in some days, right? Man, someday when I'm skinny. No. Go in the garage, boy, and sweat yourself out with that heavy bag. Why? Because your season's now. You're not guaranteed someday. Right? Matthew 11, 16 through 19. But what shall I compare this generation? See, I hear that sarcastically almost. That's how I hear that. That could be, what should I compare this? He could be bummed out. I don't know how you hear it. But what shall I compare this generation? It is like little children. What do you know about children? Self-focused. And groups of them can be cruel. Little children sitting in the marketplace who call the others and say, we piped the flute for you, playing wedding, and you did not dance. There's a time to dance. And that's when he says it's a time to dance. And sometimes we, like, you know what? Why wasn't worship service all praise? So we could just praise our God. It says he inhabits the praise of people. What, we just have all praise, Miley? I'm calling her out because I called for you to have, we prefer certain kinds of worship, don't we? We prefer praise, certain kind of praise. I know I'm stepping on a lot of toes. It's okay. We prefer things like little children. We don't want to eat our Brussels sprouts sometimes. I called for a dance and you didn't dance. We wailed sad dirges, playing funeral songs, and you did not mourn and cry aloud. There's a time to grieve when it's time to grieve. But you can't force someone else to grieve. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. Here's a guy preaching repentance, and he's following the letter of the law to a T. And all they could come up with, well, he has a demon. Why? Because he's making them awful uncomfortable. Yeah. Anytime things in the Word make you uncomfortable, it's easy to go deflect. Deflect. I don't like that word. Well, that's the Old Testament. Well, that's this. Well, that. For John neither was eating or drinking, and they said he had a demon. The Son of Man, there's Jesus talking, right, came eating and drinking with others, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, including non-observant Jews. They're trashing Jesus out. We think, man, we wouldn't have done that. Jesus shows up in my life, I never complain about. Yet, wisdom is justified and vindicated by her deeds. Things are justified in our lives for those who respond to me, is what he said. There's a lot of people who are going to be hearing me in the crowd today. But if you don't respond, it's going to be a problem. Then he began to denounce the people. That sounds ticked. That doesn't sound sad. When you denounce something, you're like, done with you. I break with you. And you're chilling, you know, done. I wipe my feet of you, right? He began to denounce the people in the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent and change their hearts and lives. Matthew 11:20. Why did he denounce them? Because when he did a miracle in their life, they kept being the same ornery, nasty person they always were, the same self-focused person they always were, the same miracle-chasing person. They got their miracle, but Matthew 11:20-24, he says this to the people. His people. Woe, judgment is coming to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethesda. Now check this out. For if the miracles done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, and ever hear of Tyre and Sidon? He just said, if the miracles had been done in Tyre and Sidon, here's the history. Like the prophet Amos and Jeremiah prophesied against these cities. And then Nebuchadnezzar came in and wiped them out because they didn't do what God said. And they were pagan cities. So he's not even talking to Hebrew cities, he's not talking to the people of God. He's saying, here's this nation who didn't know me, dedicated to not knowing me, fighting against me. And if I'd done the miracles in them, if I'd done the miracles in them like I did in you, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. Man, that's got to sting as the church, right? He said, if the miracles I'd done in your life, I'd done some of these people who don't know me, they wouldn't be fussing like you do and complaining for another one. They would just get their lives right. And they don't even know me. They would have repented long ago with sackcloth and ashes. Their hearts would have been changed. That's hard to hear, right? And they would have expressed sorrow for their sin and rebellion against God. So often, I hear people that identify as Christians. Well, thank God for grace. He just forgave me again. I don't know if you know him then. It should hurt a little more than that, right? When we're in rebellion, we should repent. Right? Here's a necessary posture when you really come to God is repentance. Don't let your heart get hardened. If you can't come in repentance, you can't really come to him. You come to him like, I'm all that in a bag of chips, and then he doesn't receive that. He says, nevertheless, I say to you, you say, go ahead. Say, go ahead and say it, Jesus. I'm just quoting Jesus. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the pagan cities of Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. Oh, no. What? Jesus, that's rough. Right, that's rough. How dare you say that these pagans would be better for them on Judgment Day who never even accepted you? And I'm just spouting off saying I'm a Christian, though I'm not doing it. He said, hey, it'll be more tolerable for them than for you. And Capernaum. When I read Capernaum, I stopped and had a little conversation with him, Pastor Larry. I said, Capernaum, Lord? What's wrong with Capernaum? Like, because you know what I think of Capernaum? I think Jesus met up with James, Peter, John, and Andrew in Capernaum. And that's a good haul. Right? To me, like, that was a good trip, Jesus. You got four great dudes right there. And he says, and do you, Capernaum, are you to be exalted to heaven for your apathy and unresponsiveness? Feels a little rough. So if we can't let Jesus tell us something, we don't want him to tell us something because we got what we want to do. That's apathy, unresponsiveness. You will descend to Hades, the realm of the dead. For if the miracles have been done in you, he's telling the church now, not pagans. If the miracles I'd done in you had been done in Sodom, here's a history lesson. Ever heard of Sodom and Gomorrah? Anybody? Legendary for what? Immorality and gender confusion. And they were incinerated. Say deep roots. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you history. And Jesus pulls it right out of the archives to tell these guys. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? And I guarantee you, if they're Hebrews and they're Hebrews of Hebrews, they were taught about Sodom and Gomorrah. They know what he was talking about. They were about to be offended because they knew, like, that's the word, that's like the cuss word of the, like, Sodom and Gomorrah. Ooh, that's the ultimate terrible. God nuked them. And he's saying, if I did the miracles in you that had done in you, if I did it in Sodom, it would remain to this day. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Say, Lord, help us. We're not just mouth-talking Christians. We're not just followers, social followers of Jesus, or obedient followers of Jesus to be the church he's called us to be. Because there's a life, a world out there that is dying, and it needs the real church. It needs the real church. Holy Spirit, help me. Be genuine in relationship with you, because that's what they need, right? Genuine relationship. Say, what'd you come to see? Yeah, say, Pastor, usually more cheerful than this. We don't usually have someone faint in service. And I don't know what you came to see. I don't know why you came to see. Probably for our worship team, because they're awesome. Matthew 11, 25 to 27. At that time, at that very moment, I can relate to this. You ever have friends, like you're talking to them about something, like men will go, Pastor, could you pray for my foot? And I just break out praying right there. This is what he's doing. In the middle of something, Jesus starts busting out and praying right here. He says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, after he just jumps on him, right? I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, and I openly and joyfully acknowledge your great wisdom that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent. That's offensive. And revealed them to infants and new believers, to those seeking God's will and purpose. Who's he revealing to them? Those seeking God's will. There's a lot of things I want to do. I absolutely want to do. And they're not ungodly things. If I seek to do my will above his, who's God? He's saying, you want to really know me? Then seek my purpose, not yours. Seek my will, not your will. Say, ah, that's the key. That's the absolute key. Yes, Father, for this way, God often has specific ways. You know, I cook meatballs for the first time. I don't know how they're going to turn out. I know, you expect me to make meatballs. I haven't before. Other people made them for me. And I found myself with a couple hours at home with the materials to make meatballs, so thus I began the meatball project. And I hope they turn out, because what I didn't do is follow directions. I never follow directions when I cook. I kind of looked and went, oh, those are the ingredients in meatballs? I'll figure that out. Hopefully I did. Many times I haven't on those things. You know, like, you don't notice that most of the carpentry skills and stuff, now that we have Mark, it's great. But Dr. Heidi and Pastor Judy are amazing at it. They can draw straight lines with rulers. I can't. It's a problem. Because there's a way. You can't just throw something up and assemble it how you want to and have it be the thing. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one fully knows and accurately understands the Son except the Father. And no one fully and accurately understands the Father except the Son. And to anyone to whom he reveals himself, has Jesus revealed himself to you? I pray he does, because that's what it takes. Personal interaction with Jesus. This should be happening as we follow him, right? He should be revealing us more and more. Like, if you've been serving God a while and you haven't heard him speak to you about anything, not talking necessarily audible, but the first question I'll ask you, are you reading your Bible? Because that's the way he's going to speak. He always speaks there. And then he speaks to me other ways. But are we seeking what he has to say about it? If we're not, then we're not really seeking him. We're seeking the benefits of him or the community of him, but not him. If Dr. Heidi married me for my money, she'd be in trouble. Or for what blessing I could bring to her, she'd be in trouble. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Good, we're getting to close. Come to me. You know what I love here? He's talking about you having trouble with problems. Come to me. I learned this a long time in management and leadership schools. Complain upwards. When things seem hard in your walk, don't find some baby Christian to complain to. I don't, Pastor. I try to get right on your schedule, but you're so busy. Have you gone to Jesus? Well, I mentioned it to him in the car once. Well, wax on and wax off, Daniel, son. You know? Come to me. Complain upwards. You got a problem in your life? I identify as a Christian. I know Jesus. Then complain to him. And then listen to what he has to say. Complain upwards. Come to me, all you are weary. Anybody been weary? I've been super weary. I've heard stuff this week that made me cry a bunch. What wore me out, Jen? Just wore me out. Weary. Come to me, all who are weary. Bueller? Anybody? Weary? Bueller? There we go. They're weary. And heavily burdened. You can probably keep your hands up to weary, right? Most reasons we're weary because we're heavily burdened. You know, they go help in hand. Burdened by the religious rituals that provide no peace. The format of running church and going to church, and I worshiped for three songs, and I heard pastor preach, I had communion, that itself will not do anything for you. Doesn't make you the church, doesn't make you a follower, doesn't make anything. Makes you an attendee. And he's saying in this passage, and I believe he's saying it to the church in general at the time and season globally, he's saying it's time. It's absolutely time. Stop letting the things that are dumb burden your life and follow me. Let me be Lord again and take you anywheres. Can I take you anywheres? Can I tell you anything? I got to a certain place, I think, sometimes in life, but I don't think he could tell me anything. Anything new. Like, I'm going to go to Samoa. Don't tell me to go to Iraq. I can't even hear that right now. That's not you, God. I'm not saying that is God. But if I have that postured attitude, guess what? Who's wrong? Me. Who's in trouble? Me. Why? Because I'm not letting my Lord tell me anything. Savior's wonderful because he rescues us out of stuff. Lordship is about obedient marching. When you don't feel like it. I was so obedient, I gave Pastor Sharon $10 from the Lord told me to. I love that stuff. I love buying groceries or people behind me. I love that kind of stuff. That kind of obedience is easy. When I'm being misrepresented and someone's kind of chewing me out, shutting my mouth, that's hard. Anybody? That's hard, right? If I give you, and I will give you rest, he said. If you come to me, give it to me. Don't be burdened by those things. I'll give you rest. Have you accepted that deal? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you given him, say, hey, you can have my burden, you can have my troubles, you can have my sin, you can have me and all my nasty issues, and I promise you can have my whole heart, and I will follow you and love you and serve you all the days of my life, and thank you for letting me into the kingdom. I didn't deserve it. Anybody? That's what it takes. Well, I gave this, I did that. No. Don't matter. I said, Lord, Lord, every Sunday morning. I went, Lord, Lord. And I had my streamers going, Lord. You can say it all you want. But is he that in your life? Are you recruiting for him or for you? Are you where you at as the church? Take my yoke upon you and learn. Do what I ask and be open to learning. Man, it's so much smarter if I let Mark build things. I learned. Than let me build things. He's a better builder. I've learned. Learn from me. Follow me as my disciple, for I am gentle. Oh, man, I love that. Follow Jesus because he's gentle and humble. Oh, my goodness. The Son of God came down for us and didn't have to. I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Being gentle and humble also impacts your soul. Like, you have a lot of stress in your life? Here's a quick help tip. Be gentle and humble. That's the first place you always start, is gentle and humble. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. Why our burden now? What's your opinion on your burden? Is it heavy? You feeling heavy? Oh, I had a heavy week. I had to constantly go, Jesus, take this. Ever have those weeks you had to go, Jesus, can you take this? I took it yesterday. I know, man. Take it again. You know? Well, and honestly, most of the time he says, you've been carrying it around. Can I have it? Put it. But it's my burden. Jesus did all the hard stuff. That's why he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. How can he say that? My life seems challenging right now. Ed's life seems super challenging right now. I know people, I could tell you stories if I was legally allowed to from Ethos that would make you cry right now and probably throw up. That's the reality. But he said, take my yoke on you because it's easy and light. I said, Lord, that doesn't seem easy and light. He said, oh, trust me, I did the hard stuff. I did all the heavy lifting. I did it one hand at a time for you. I lifted the whole weight of the world for you. Your yoke is actually easy and your burden is light. Go be me to the world. I did the hard stuff. You don't got to die for their sins. You got to tell them I did. And they got to see you dying to yourself every day to prove that Jesus is who he says he is, because he is it in you. He did the heavy lifting. He said, our yoke is easy. Our burden is light. So if he says, go to Afghanistan and put my head on a block and let it be cut off, that's easy. And that burden is light. Why? If the Lord commands it. Because he did it for me. But do we live that way? Does it matter? We should all be missionaries. Church is a place for us to get maybe some deep doctrinal teaching, some encouragement, some fellowship, to worship together. But really, it's a sending out place to go into the world and be him somewhere, to somebody. And authentically, hey, I wasn't allowed to get this shirt made because it could be offensive. But it said, bite me, taste Jesus. Bite me, taste Jesus. Not bite me. Bite me, taste Jesus.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, I wish. Censored, dude. I'd be censored on that one. But I'm telling you, is that our life? When they're biting us, and they will bite, those that closest to you will bite. The ones you should be the nicest to will bite. The ones we should actually be showing more love to than anybody else, and we're not, we're actually the biters. We bite each other. Ever been bitten by Nana? Not yet. Probably haven't been. She probably hasn't bit anybody. You've probably been bitten by me a few times. I don't mean it. I'm sorry. But I hope when you do get bit into that you taste just like Jesus. So hopefully next week I'm going to get into don't worship church practices. We can get into worship church practices and easy. That's one of the things I love about Samoa. I go to a lot of denominational churches. I'm everywhere. Because it's about Jesus, not about me. Not about my preference. One of the churches, I have the hardest time entering into worship because it's all in Samoan, and it's like more Catholic-style worship, and I'm just like, okay, Lord. So inside I'm praying in tongues the whole time, going, okay, Father. It's not my preference, but that's where he has me, right? So this week, I really want you to let God define family to you. Are you in his family? Do you follow him and you obey him? Because why do I believe that God at this point in time is pressing us in this area? Why the red letters of Jesus? Because I thought, red letters, that's going to be the sweet talk of Jesus. Oh, my God, we bless you, be healed in Jesus' name. Right. Be blind eyes open, paralytic. And he's like, I'm pressing you because you have a ministry to go to all the world and preach the gospel. And if you don't get the speck out of your own eye, you don't get healthy in your own life, you don't start walking out this Christianity that you identify with on a regular basis, not only will the world not be saved, but you're in risk of Sodom and Gomorrah issues. I don't want to be a church or a person that says, Lord, Lord, ever, without meaning what it means. So if you're that church, and you're ready for that next step, or to refresh that step again, and the red letters are going to mean something to you, because red letters are often warnings. Remember? Warnings. I have friends in Florida. They had warnings for the hurricane. And they took precautions and protected their house. And they have people that live down there said, we get hurricane warnings all the time. Don't have houses. Well, how could God do that? He sent a warning. How can God do that? He sent John the Baptist. How can God do that? He sent Jesus. How can God do that? He sent you. This is the season the church gets stronger, Jen. I'm tired of it being weaker. And that starts with me. It starts with me, right? So stand with me. If you're that church that's ready to be stronger, then you bet. I believe this red letter series is going to make us uncomfortable in such good ways. I believe Jesus is after his bride like never before. I believe he's closer to coming back than he's ever been before. I believe there's a job assignment like it's never been before. And that means giving up stuff sometimes to do what he asked me to do. And that's not easy. I don't like to leave this country. I don't like to leave my wife. And the only time I do is when I'm obedient. I don't know what he's going to ask of you, but if you're not ready in the season, you'll be sad. Father, I thank you for New Season Christian Fellowship. Lord God, I thank you for the churches that we partner with in this city. And I thank you for the churches we partner with around the world, Lord God. I pray that your bride would come together like never before. We would stop being offended. We would stop being offended when you want to talk to us, Lord. We would start seeking the Lord of our life like never before. And bring people into our lives, Lord God, that we can feed, whether they bite us or we feed them, Lord. Bring them in and send us out to the right people. Send us out to the right people, Lord God. There's people's souls that hang in the balance if we're going to do our job. Lord, equip us this season to do our job so well. We love you. Amen.